ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Tomorrow is the celebration of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. It seems a funny thing to say, the celebration. We would think lamentation, but as Srila Prabhupada described in one talk he gave on this day, that coming and going, it's the same, just like the sun rising and setting. For the sun, there is no difference. That is simply in our vision. So similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is an eternal personality. We're all eternal personalities. But in different births, we get different identities. In our attempt to fulfill various desires, we get different kinds of bodies. But the liberated personalities, they only have one desire, how to serve Krishna. And their personality, therefore, doesn't change. They all have individual personalities to serve Krishna in various ways, but the same personality, birth after birth. Therefore, we can confidently pray at the lotus feet of our spiritual master, that Chokudan Diloje Janme Janme Prabhu Se. He is my the one who has opened my eyes or given me the gift of vision, that person is my master birth after birth. I may go through various births, but he will stay the same because he's fixed in his position as a servant of Krishna. So tomorrow is the disappearance day, and a dear godbrother of mine has just a few days ago sent me a question that he thought I might like to discuss or give some idea about. Yeah, in what ways did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur differ from his father in his approach to personal sadhana? I've been told they had some differences to do with inner practice. It's a very wide, open question. One thing for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't make a very big distinction or differentiation between bhajan, or our personal activities for spiritual advancement, and other services or preaching. It's all part of one continuum. Just like there's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. But it's all bhakti. Iti pungsa pita Vishnu, bhaktis chain avalakshana. It's all Vishnu bhakti, but with nine different approaches. So he didn't make a big differentiation. To even discuss such subjects. who are we tiny little midgets even to discuss? We can't discuss, we should not discuss the personalities, the great acharyas, the great liberated souls, as if we are historians or psychologists. It's that we can analyze them or Even astrologically, you can make an astrological chart. Even there's astrological chart of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we shouldn't think that they are living beings who are under the control of karma, and they appeared in this world due to some material desires. They're on a different platform to us. And by applying mundane intelligence, we cannot understand
the spiritual. Achintya kalu ye bhava natangs tarkena yojiya prakritebhyo parang yachta. Tad achintyasya lakshanam, the very characteristic of that which is achintya. It means inconceivable or beyond the normal range of thought processes. So to try to apply our normal thought process to try to understand that which is beyond our normal thought process, or it's not going to work. But there is a way to understand, and that is by the mercy of the Great Personalities. Just as it's stated about Krishna, Atashi Krishna Nama Adina Bhavad Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hiji Vado Swayameva Spuratya Daha. The holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna cannot be understood by the Grahyam Indriyai, cannot be grasped by the mundane senses. But when we become inclined to serve Krishna, then he reveals himself to us. So by his mercy, we can see him. Bhaktya mama vijanati. Krishna says, I can be properly known by bhakti, by the process of bhakti. So this kind of question comes up. It is a controversial subject about the relationship between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's some controversy. There's controversy about everything in the world, in mundane topics, in spiritual topics. It's Kali Yuga. Everyone is divided on everything, it seems. But those who, especially in the Western countries, those who would criticize Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there are some people who dare to do that. And they say, well, he's not rasika enough, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was operating on a very high level of bhakti, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was more concerned with the beginning stages. But those who would like to criticize him, the fools who would like to criticize him, they might consider that if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for his divine grace that was received through the divine grace, we received through his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, they would have known nothing about Krishna consciousness. They wouldn't have known. So there are apparent differences between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I spent several years continually absorbed in meditation on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as I was compiling a biographical study of him, and it was very obvious to me that, and I wrote that in that book also, that he is absolutely composed of Bhaktivinoda. There's Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta, they're intimately related. If we take them apart from the personalities, the very meanings of the names, Bhaktivinoda, the joy of bhakti, and Bhaktisiddhanta, the proper philosophical conclusions of bhakti, they're inseparable. There's not one without the other. There's no joy of bhakti without being properly situated in bhakti. Bhaktisiddhanta virudha arasa bas shunile nahoi prabhuru lash. More than once in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's stated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who took his pleasure was in hearing topics of bhakti, hearing about Krishna, but if he took no pleasure, he was not at all happy if any topics were introduced that were against Bhaktisiddhanta, against the proper conclusion of bhakti, or that was rasa bhas, that was not some idea of pastimes or emotions that does not give rise to proper pleasurable rasas. And therefore, Swarup Damodar, his personal secretary, Swarup Damodar, would vet anyone who wanted to come and speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not everyone could come to him and speak their thoughts. They had to go through Swarup Damodar. So they're intimately related. And everything Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did was what he had learned from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was trained from birth by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in devotional service. And everything that he did was simply meant to fulfill the desire and the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically gave orders to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to propagate the Shuddhanam, pure chanting of the holy names. The chanting of the holy names, the Hare Krishna mantra, was widespread in Bengal and Orissa. And also at that time had become quite prominent as some imagined Maha Mantra or alternative Maha Mantra, the Nitai Gaur, Nitai Gaur Radhesham, etc. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach the pure holy name, that means the proper mantras and the proper attitude in chanting. It's a big topic. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to establish Daiva Varnashram. Now, interestingly, those who would say that, yeah, we like Bhaktivinoda, but we're not so sure of Bhaktisiddhanta. But there are those in the, what we would say, the Babaji lines or Goswami lines, or those who are called traditional Vaishnavas, whatever you may call them. They also don't like Bhaktivinoda Thakur that much, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to reestablish Varnashram Dharma, and they're against that. I'm talking in a very general way here, because all the Babaji lines and all the Goswami lines, they're spiritually very weak nowadays. They're going on. But it's not that they all teach exactly the same thing, anyway. But establishing Varnashram, they're against that on the basis of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that bhakti is beyond Varnashram. But then that's another big topic, which I won't get into now. Another thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it wasn't that, but we hear how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he bucked the system by giving initiation, giving Brahmin threads and so on. But actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gave initiation. He didn't give, as far as we know, he didn't give Brahmin threads. But he also gave initiation. Well, he wasn't supposed to, according to the protocol that had been established. Only people who were in the family line could give initiation. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did, despite being from a superficially Shudra caste, the Dattas, Kedana Datta, Bimal Prasad Datta. Datta is a Kayasta name, which is officially a Shudra caste. Although they're much educated and highly placed, and Narendranath Datta, Vivekananda, he was also a Datta. And so anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also went against the system. So those who are really in the hardcore Bengali traditional lines, they also won't appreciate Bhaktivinoda. But nowadays, who knows these things? Who's studying these things? Who cares about these things? It's really split, what's that called, splitting hairs. Even those who have been most critical of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur, they also admit that if it wasn't for ISKCON's activities, the renaissance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and the chanting all over the world, they also appreciate. And how can they not appreciate if they're at all devotees? Now, superficially, it might seem that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was different to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in some ways, he was. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended to be married, not to have renounced life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke against having akras, which it means a monastery or a mutt, an ashram. He was against that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established, first of all, Sri Chaitanya Mutt. Mutt is an ashram. Then later on, the Gauriya Mutt with its branches. Navadi Dham Pracharini Sabha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was instrumental in founding that, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became the prominent figure after Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away. But 4 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away from this world, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to a large extent, broke away from the Navadvipa Dham Pracharini Sabha by founding his own mutt and taking sannyas. Navadvipa Dham Pracharini Sabha was largely made up of Bhaktivinoda's followers. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he saw that if he's going to spread Krishna consciousness very widely, he needs to have dedicated workers, brahmacharis, the older people who were married and followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They didn't have the time and the energy to dedicate for full-time work. So it appeared that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur broke away. And it also might have appeared that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't speak on such high topics, because we'll find in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, his prodigious writings, we'll find at the end of the last part of his Jaiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikamrita, these two most important books, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very much promoted. Oh, it's difficult. Where do you start? Where do you begin? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the main things he did was to get all of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books printed, especially this Jaiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikamrita, and then later on, not much later, Paramananda Vidyaratna, on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was ordered in a dream by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to collect all the songs of Bhaktivinoda, which were scattered here and there in various magazines and publications, and publish them. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had that published widely and distributed. And in the Gauriya Mutt, the liturgy, getting to the sadhana, which is the question, is a lot made up of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. So, yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings at the end of Jaiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikamrita, he had given Bengali language, of course. Well, not of course. But he gave a overview of the very highest stages of devotional service. And in his songs also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he revealed his own desires, as had Narottam Das before him, to give up his present male form and take the form of a young girl Gopi in Vrindavan and Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically stated, both in his songs and in his Navadvipa Mahatmya, that he is Kamal Manjari. So he spoke of these things, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very cautious about this, but so was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He didn't say that it wasn't the only thing he wrote. It's just like many people think Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is very rasik acharya in his writings, which is true, but we can also find Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his writings we find very deep exposition of various philosophical topics. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even though he wrote of these things, he also warned in various ways about not going to such topics unless one is suitably qualified. Adhikana lobeya siddha deha bhave viparit phala pabe shaktir abhave. He warned. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warned that if in an immature stage, without acquiring the requisite qualification, if one tries, this is sadhana, if one tries to meditate on his spiritual form, the ekadasha bhava, the 11 characteristics of those who are wanting to cultivate manjari bhava, the feelings of a young girl assistant in the gopis' pastimes. So if they're trying to cultivate that, they're trying to meditate that, they will get the opposite result due to lack of spiritual strength. That was one warning of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then again, he said, Najaibe kopari, dhare fal tana tani dushta fal karibe arjan. That if without ascending to the top of the tree, without going up into the tree, if one tries to get the fruits simply by remaining on the ground and pulling them, you'll only get the rotten fruits. So he's referring again to the attempt to artificially go up without the proper qualification. Now, I maybe said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strong in criticizing all kinds of bogus people. That's a fact. But it wasn't that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also didn't do so. The list of various upper sampradayas that was given by Tota Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he publicized that Aulbal Karta Bhaja, Nera Darabe Shahaja Smarta, I can't remember exactly, all the bogus sampradayas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did point out that people are doing things wrong. But at the same time, he also was, you could say, more if you use these words, inclusive in comparison to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that was, in other words, just like in the first magazine that he was a regular contributor to, that what was that? I just don't remember the name now. Was that Vishnupriya? No, not Vishnupriya. And then even in his Sajjana Toshani, he would invite people, or he would accept articles by people who Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not see as properly situated pure Vaishnavas, and he would make friendship with them also. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was friends also with that Shishir Kumar Ghosh, who was a Ghosh, another Kayasta, who was very prominent in reviving Vaishnavism. It's a whole big social history behind it, how the British, they educated the Bengalis who became attracted to the Western way of life, and then they thought, well, yeah, we like the Western. There are many good things the British have to teach us. But at the same time, we want to be Hindus, or do we want to be Hindus? Maybe we'll become Brahmas. There's a whole big history. They didn't want to become Christians. They wanted to become Westernized to some extent, but they didn't. Most of them didn't want to become Christians. And then there was a revival of Hinduism with Vivekananda, manly Hinduism, and so on and so on and so on. But you know, Thakur, he also made friends with people like Shishir Kumar Ghosh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very well known, and Shishir Kumar Ghosh, Mahatma, he was popularly called Mahatma long before Mahatma Gandhi. He was, Shishir Kumar Ghosh was, he wrote books in Bengali, Amiya Nimai Charit, which put in simple Bengali that even women could understand. Of course, women didn't read in those days, so it could be read to them, but they could understand the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very uncommon for women in Bengal at that time to read. So if this was read to them, they could appreciate that. and then he wrote in English also, Lord Gauranga. There was a summary of that book. But on the other hand, he was a fish eater. Most Bengalis were and are. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mixed with such people. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there are several pranam mantras composed in glorification of him. There were four, which were standard in the Gauriya Math at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then, because they were composed by someone who later, most of the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took a very dark opinion of him later on. So some others, they composed different pranam mantras for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But in the standard ones which Srila Prabhupada accepted, our Srila Prabhupada, and he accepted and he chanted them, we find in the last line of those eight lines, in the praising Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Rupa Anuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harine, offering obeisance to He who takes away the darkness of the wrong conclusions concerning the opposite conclusions that have been propagated concerning the teachings of Rupa Goswami. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was like that. Now, there is an explanation. There is one article in the Harmonist magazine, written in English, called Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in which these apparent contradictions or lack of harmony or apparent differences between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are addressed. And basically, without going into all the topics in detail, in fact, not going into the details at all, simply the conclusion is that you can't understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Even if you read all of his writings, and even if you memorize them all, which suggests that some people may have done that. I personally knew one family in which they told me they'd memorized all the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is quite possible. But all his writings, that's a big task. But of course, people had better memory power previously in general. Anyway, in that article it's written that even if one had read all his writings, memorized them all, word by word, he still cannot understand a word of them unless he approaches Bhaktivinoda Thakur through the pure devotee. It's not stated there, but it obviously means Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That if we are to understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then we have to go through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And our own Srila Prabhupada said something very similar. He said, you cannot jump to the previous acharyas without going through your present acharya, without going through himself. So that's another important part of parampara. We have so many gurus. Vandeham Sri Guru. Sri Yathav Padakamalam Sri Guru. We offer our obeisance to our guru and to our gurus. First words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Gurun. We offer obeisance to our guru. We have so many gurus, but we have to approach them step by step. We cannot jump up and declare that we shall independently understand the teachings of any previous acharya. The parampara is unfolding step by step. And we have to understand how we are taught by our acharya at the present time, how we are to understand, how we are to approach the teachings of the shastra and the parampara. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur more or less said that, well, you have to understand, it wasn't written, this article wasn't written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although in one sense all the articles were written by him, because they were all written by disciples whose whole spiritual perspective had been shaped by him. He brought a different perspective on spiritual life than anyone had known. It was very chopping, Srila Prabhupada used to say, my Guru Maharaj had the chopping technique. Chopping, that you see. Chop, chop, this is wrong, this is right. There's making the clear distinction. That article also explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by necessity at that time, it was required when he was first re-establishing Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Bengal, re-establishing it among the educated Bengalis, it was necessary that he take the help of all different kinds of people because there was no clear idea of pure devotion at that time. And it's actually astonishing what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. His first public speech about Vaishnavism, it was... that's still available, that's in English, that speech in Dinajpur on the Bhagavat. It was something sensational that he could stand up and say that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a great work. Because, as he himself explained, they'd been trained to hate the Bhagavatam without understanding how great it is. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he couldn't, in his position, it is explained in this article, he couldn't stand out and be totally against everything that was... Of course, he also criticized false approaches, false devotion, and practically everyone does. All the acharyas do. It's not that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first to point out cheating in the name of devotion. Right there in the Bhagavatam at the very beginning, we have the Kaitava Dharma, cheating in the name of religion, is projita, atra, completely rejected from here. And right after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur, He pointed out various people who are misrepresenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narottam Das Thakur warned us not to associate with Micha Bhakta, false devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on that, Tadashmasharam Hridayam Vatedam, that verse, he talks about people who imitate the symptoms of ecstasy, those who don't feel ecstatic in devotional service, their hearts are stone-hearted, but those who imitate that also. So it wasn't that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first, that he was doing something new in criticizing those who were misrepresenting Krishna consciousness, but he was definitely very aggressive in doing so. As far as bhajan and sadhana is concerned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave so many songs, and they were meant for devotees. Many of them were meant for devotees in the very beginning stages. His series of songs, Sharanagati, for instance, they start off at the very beginning. Many of them are autobiographical, and he starts off with lamentation, Amar Jibon Shada Pape Rota. He's right, my life is simply full of sin, and he's writing for very beginning devotees in an autobiographical way. But then he in the Sharanagati series, he takes devotees to the highest stage, that how by the holy name, that what is that, Brajalay, what is, I can't remember exactly that. The holy name takes me to Vrindavan and shows me my swaroop. So in so many, he describes how by practicing devotional service, he takes a form in Vrindavan. So he starts off at the beginning stages, and he gives many songs suitable for singing in arati kirtans, as we sing up to the present day, Jaya Jaya Gora Chande Aratiko Shobha. He gave many songs which are suitable for sadhakas, those on the path of perfection. And then even for before taking prasad, sharira vidyajal, jarindriyate, while taking prasad, if one is eating shak, or if one is eating khichdi, or different foods, there are different songs which can be recited. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave so many. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he incorporated these into the liturgy and the life of the Gauriya Math. They would be sung regularly in the Gauriya Math, which that in itself was a break from what you might call traditional Vaishnavism, in which the older sampradayas, they tend to sing songs of the previous Vaishnava poets. They're mostly only about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Gauranga, and maybe not so suitable for sadhakas. Narottam Das also gave his Prem Bhakti Chandrika, very suitable for sadhakas. So that was incorporated into the Gauriya Math, and it was very structured, as was necessary, monastic life. So that was somewhat different from that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose bhajan, he had a few followers around him, but he didn't have, as far as I know up to the present time, he didn't institute a strict system of bhajan and sadhana for his followers. He would do, and there would be others with him who would do that. But at that, he had the Nam Hattas, and he gave some general directions. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we could say, made it much more institutionalized. Now, as far as going up to the higher stages of bhajan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the last few years of his presence in this world, during Kartik, he would go through the Bhajan Rahasya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that takes, go through it means they would recite and sing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, this Bhajan Rahasya is a guide to practicing Krishna consciousness in such a way that brings us up to the highest stages. And although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Gauriya Mat, he was very circumspect about going up to the highest stages. Oh, I should go back at this point. And so why is he circumspect? He learned this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because one of the major contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took up very seriously, was publishing books. Not only writing own books, but publishing, because there was a huge, at that time, a huge stock of Vaishnava literature, which was unpublished, just in manuscripts and practically unknown. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur he was searching for a long time to find a manuscript of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. It was so hard to find because there were written copies, but it hadn't been published. So in the 19th century, there became an explosion of publication of Vaishnava literature, not only by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but there were problems with that also because that was done for a pecuniary reasons, for profit. And so a lot of the because there's a large body of simple Vaishnavas, many, and for profit being published. So those who were publishing, they didn't care very much about the presentation of proper Siddhanta or even proper proofreading or any such thing. We have Ras Bihari Lal also in Vrindavan who publishes for profit. He doesn't care whether the book's bona fide or he just publishes, that's all. In presenting Vaishnava literature, we should be very careful that it's the language is very properly formed. It's difficult in English language to express many of the topics, but that endeavor should be done. It's a great effort, actually, to... It's relatively easy. Anyone can write in English who's educated in that language, but to put the topics just exactly to the point in proper English, that requires much effort. So anyway, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a young man, he proposed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, why don't we print Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami, the most, the seminal book of Gauriya Vaishnavism, predating even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no. If you like, you can. You can print two. One for you, one for me. Or three. One for you, one for me, and one for anyone in future who might understand it. So it wasn't that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati just invented some kind of strictness about these topics. He got it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would generally, in the Gauriya Mat, which song should be sung? He was strict about that. Not that you sing very high songs, which are beyond our present status of understanding, or even that the listeners may not understand. So, but then Bhajan Rahasya, he was singing. Actually, he didn't sing himself. He would have others sing in Kartik among a select group of disciples. And then they would go into those topics which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given there for a select group. So it wasn't that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his bhajan was different to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's the same spirit. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very cautious that in the name of giving Krishna consciousness, we don't spoil people's spiritual life by giving them topics that are beyond their present range of understanding. That's all. When it comes to bhajan, this point is there. It could be a subject of great research, how Bhaktisiddhanta is Bhaktivinoda. Atmajayate Putra, that is the same. That one is, a man is reborn as his son. So the son can be considered the father. When the father dies, the elder son, according to the law of primogeniture, the elder son, he inherits everything. He takes the role of the father. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away, he took the leadership of the sampradaya. Now, it doesn't mean that the son is exactly the same in all respects, but he takes on the responsibility to preserve what the father has given and to develop that further. That is especially in the acharya parampara. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did that. Exactly how to unearth all the apparent differences and harmonize it all, that could be the result of great research. I'd personally very much like to do that, but it's a big topic of research, and life is short. There are so many things to do, but we can rest assured that we are receiving the teachings of the parampara in the manner that Krishna wants to give them to us, as we're receiving it through Srila Prabhupada, through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there may be, through Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. We shouldn't minimize Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. I've spoken about that before. The role of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji in the spiritual life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Again, it's a topic which we can simply very carefully discuss, because we're talking about personalities who are on a level that we could only enter by invitation only, by their grace. So we shouldn't be so presumptuous as to think that now we understand all these things. But practically, so many things Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur learned from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that could be a result, a topic of research. Research not in the sense that of ad hocic scholars or those who are concerned with trying to understand through their mind intelligence, but as a prayerful offering to reveal their glories, that could be done. There are so many scholarly topics to be taken up by those who are intellectually inclined. In the meantime, we have all of Srila Prabhupada's books, which gave all the teachings of the acharyas. And they're to be read, internalized, and distributed. And again, those persons in the Western world who want to identify with some kind of devotion, bhakti, in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, without accepting Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, some Babaji line, they can't even begin to understand what is Krishna consciousness unless they take initial instruction from Srila Prabhupada's books and his teachings. Can't even begin to understand. So it would be ungratefulness and impertinence to think that, well, now this, you see this line, Gauri Amat, ISKCON, Prabhupada, they're only teaching on a lower level. It's not stated in this Rancho Prabhu's email, but I suspect, because from experience, I suspect that is that. I may be wrong, but there's this idea. Now, we're on a higher level. We go to the Babaji's in Radha Kund and this and that. But you can't begin to enter, to understand Krishna consciousness without reading Srila Prabhupada's books. If you just go directly to Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, what are you going to... Without clearly understanding, we're not the body and we're not related to this material world at all. Without understanding Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha is his Haladini Shakti, his internal pleasure potency. She is non-different from he, different and non-different. Without understanding all these things, how are we going to get entrance into these things? It's ridiculous to even think. And then, and actually, there have been devotees who came to ISKCON and they went away and then they identified with these sampradayas, and most of them that I know of have fallen down spectacularly. One was a great scholar and then he's eating meat, and another directly says that he's a sahajiya, and that you have to have physical sex, otherwise you can't understand what is Radha Krishna. It directly says this. And ganja smoking to add to his spiritual realization. This is those who went away from ISKCON for a higher bhajan. Then another one, when left ISKCON, went to some high-level Gauriya Math guru, then became fed up with him, then became a Buddhist, and now who knows what. Just on the mental platform. So, personally, everyone has to make their own choice, but I'll be very happy to stick to the, if I can remain at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and in this way be sheltered by him and by all the acharyas, Gorky Shardas Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur, of course, then we'll feel that our spiritual life is in order. We're on a safe path. So tomorrow is the disappearance day of Bhaktisthana Saraswati. It's not exactly death. We shouldn't think it's death. To outward appearances, it may seem to be death. In the Western world, death is much overhyped. They think death is something very terrible. It is, but not in the way they think it is. Because they think death, well, it's all over. It's all over, you're finished. But those of us who are blessed to have been taught the lessons of Bhagavad Gita, no, it's just, it's something like getting the flu. Everyone gets the flu or a cold. It's unpleasant, but it goes away. So same thing, death. It's unpleasant, but then you just go on to another phase. That's all. So it's a disappearance day of a great Vaishnava. We do become very sorry. because we cannot have their association at this point in the direct person-to-person association. So we become very sorry for that. But at the same time, we know he's always with us. So this making a big fuss over someone's death, from the philosophical point of view, even that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if you don't believe that the soul exists, there's no reason to get upset at death. And if you do believe, if you don't believe the soul exists, there's no reason to get upset at death, because if it's all chemicals, and then the body's only chemicals, and then the chemicals stop functioning in a certain way, who cares? It's just chemicals. And then if you understand the existence of the soul, then again it's not a reason to become upset, because we know it's simply the soul has gone to another body. Therefore, dhiras tatra na muhyati. Someone who is of sober intelligence doesn't become disturbed or bewildered by his own death, the death of his body or the death of anyone else, because he knows it's not actually death, because the soul never dies. So, tomorrow is opportunity to meditate more on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And thank you to Rancho Prabhu for sending that, and it gave me a chance to think something more about topics I was necessarily absorbed in for several years. I'm not exactly sure if that's... The question was a bit open-ended, so I'm not exactly sure if that's what you were looking for. But anyway, I've answered it as I was able to according to my ability. So we'll finish with some verses that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to recite at the end of his lectures. Different verses. He'd usually finish with some verse, and that would be a signal to his followers that that was the end of the talk, because his talks would go on usually at least 2 hours. And then if he said one of these verses, that was usually a signal that he's finished his talk. Parivadita jano yatha tatha va nanu mukharo navayam vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati matha bhuvi vilutama nakama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritvachaka kushatameta dahum bravimi. He sadhava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu radham vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna.